You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Evening, Trinidad and Tobago. Good evening to everybody out there, and welcome to the Insight Hub. Happy to be back with y'all. I was out for a little while, you know. Two holidays in between. Trinidad is a sweet place, you know. A country with the most, I think it's the most holidays. Yeah, in the world. Can't get happier than that. Of course, we celebrated Spiritual Baptist Day 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, Easter Monday last week. So, 2 Mondays I was out, but I'm back. I'm here with you guys. My name is Darian Theatrics Narine. Happy to be back. Happy to be here in studio and to continue my conversations as I usually do on a Monday from 6 p.m. So, good evening once again to everybody, wherever you are, whether you're in your house already, whether you're still on the road, or whether you're making your little pasta, your little Sunday lunch on a Monday. Or you're eating the seconds from last night, your leftovers, wherever you may be. I want to say a really happy Monday evening to everybody out there. So this evening, I want to start with a question. I know let Noah's come with the hard-hitting questions, things that make us sort of think a little bit deeper, a little bit more than we are accustomed to. Because I like to challenge realities. You all heard that song that was just playing at the top of the hour, which is Anxiety. And what I've noticed is that anxiety is something that a lot of people are suffering with now across the entire globe. And it's becoming a very pressing issue. So tonight I want to start with the question, what if the very things we used to escape are the same things quietly rewiring our minds into anxiety? What if the music we play on repeat, the movies we binge, the content we scroll through at 2 a.m. is not just entertaining, but conditioning? We are living in a time where anxiety is no longer the exception. We are living in a time where anxiety is no longer the exception. It is becoming the norm. According to the World Health Organization, the anxiety disorders are among the most prevalent mental health conditions globally, particularly among young people, and are a leading contributor to years lived with disability. But here's the thing. We often look for the cause in the obvious places. Stress, schools, finances, relationships. But this evening I want to go a little bit deeper. I want to explore what I call the invisible curriculum. The one that is not taught in classrooms, but is learned through speakers, screens, and storytellings. You see, because we watch anxiety in just one way. We say, all right, it's related to this stress. You have this going on, you have that going on, and that's what's causing this to spike your anxiety. But it's much more than that. And I want to talk first and foremost about the music. So let's talk about that music. Music is not just song. Music is neurochemical architecture. Neuroscientific research has shown that music activates the limbic system, particularly the amygdala and the hippocampus, which are responsible for emotional processing, fear response, and memory formation. Which means when a young person listens to a song, they're not just hearing it, they're feeling it. It resonating deep within inside them. They are internalizing it. In many ways, they are becoming what they're listening to. Now think about some of the dominant themes in modern pop culture music. Hypervigilance, paranoia, heartbreak, toxic relationships, loneliness, escapism through substances. Research by Dinora and North and Hargreaves has shown that music is not only reflective of emotion, but actively shapes mood, identity, and behavioral patterns. So repeated exposure is not neutral. It is formative, which means that the more that we consume and see something, the more we see it play out. It's like an invisible rehearsal, a subconscious rehearsal of what's actually going on. Yeah? What we're seeing, what we're feeling, etc. We have a caller on the line. Hello, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent program and topic. Very pertinent and relevant, and I have to thank you at the outset for putting this matter on your agenda for this evening.
Thank you.
So, you know, but I think it is important that probably this conversation, we have to widen it to other groups in other forums, etc., in the schools, in the religious places, in the other open spaces and spaces of entertainment, etc. Because to me, there is a collaborative, diabolical conspiracy that is eating away at the fabric of humanity. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it. We pretend and we feel we ignore it. We sweep it under the carpet. But it is very, very real, and it disguises itself, as you are saying, in music, in conversation, in all kinds of forums, on platforms, and politics, all over the place. And we need people like yourself and this program to bring our people back to the, if you want to call the original, authentic, you know. There are four concepts. You know, people always are rat race. It's not only anxiety, it's fear, it's anger, hopelessness.
Loneliness.
All this put together, imagine what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
When you put all that together, imagine what is the sum total. And people, we have lost our way, and not many leaders, I'm talking on all fronts, do not want to have this hard, realistic conversation with ordinary people. And then we turn around and we have all kind of technical, you know, the psychologists and guidance officers, and all these reactive solutions that we tend to promote when we knew and we know very well we're not treating with the problem at its source.
I like the source of the problem. Thank you so much. So, of course, we're trying to reach back to a level of consciousness. That's what we're trying to do. And I just wanted to let our caller know that I have already started this process right now with the organization I function and work with called the Samaritan Movement. We've begun going into schools and letting them know, connecting the dots between what is causing some of the mental challenges that we're seeing amongst young people in the school system. So I'm going in and I'm doing workshops and sessions with children in the school system. Yeah. And we're doing also trauma-informed teaching practice for teachers, because sometimes teachers don't even know what's going on with the students. Yeah? And we expect them to know automatically or immediately, but it's just that they have the caring, they have the heart to go out there and to serve the students. But what is happening is that there's a capacity deficit in terms of the knowledge that they may possess with regards to trauma-informed education, with regards to understanding the mental challenges of different students within the classroom, with regards to understanding dysregulated children who cannot understand what's going on with themselves and how to deal with them. As a teacher, you are doing multiple jobs and multiple roles. I keep seeing this all the time when I'm talking about teachers. Yeah, that's why I was reading somewhere that one of the top countries in the world, they pay their teachers extremely well. In fact, it's one of the most competitive professions in one of the Nordic countries. Being a teacher is one of the most competitive professions in those countries, because they see that as being so essential to the fabric of society. Teachers are training the next generation of young people who are coming up, the next generation of leaders for the nation, and the next generation of people who carry the nation forward. So therefore, we need to equip teachers with the skill sets and also the support systems to ensure that they're going along that path. Oh, gosh. All you know is get passionate. All you know is get passionate. Hey. Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Yeah, good evening again, sir. It's me again, Princess Tong here.
Mm-hmm.
I would like if you could factor in into your discourse. We just started a new school term, and we just came out of the SEA exams and so.
Mm-hmm.
This policy that we have, where we put children who make 50% at the SEA level into secondary school, and then at the end of the 5-year term, whatever, we say that we have so much dropout, so much children can't get 5 subjects and failures, etc., etc. And my thought and my suggestion is that isn't that 30% too low? Is this fair to the students we are putting forward into secondary schools, knowing full well at a 30% rate, they are not really at the level where they probably ought to be to really participate meaningfully in a secondary school curriculum and syllabus? and how this can be addressed, because this could be the very cause and source of a lot of problems we have even within the school system itself, and youngsters who grow up after to come out of the system, and then we say that they are delinquents and they are this and juvenile and et cetera, et cetera. And again, we start to look for reactive now, all kind of remedial programs and this and that and services and so on, not understanding or refusing to understand that the problem could very well be, at least
yes.
at the beginning, when we put that student at 30% into that system.
Princess Song, I hear you. I have you. I feel like we're going to bring that conversation next week, because I really want to get into this conversation here a little bit deeper with the anxiety and pop culture. But that SEA exam, I think, is a very pertinent point. We'll bring that next week. Yeah, so that one I'm going to bring back up for you. But I really wanted to focus in on this. We have another caller on the line. I'm going to take them first before I go in a little bit deeper. Hello, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
I'm now turning on here and I heard in the guy did about the SA thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard him talking about anxiety.
The topic is anxiety and pop culture. So what we're looking at is how pop culture basically impacts anxiety.
Number two. You mean how it affects you, that child?
Correct.
Or whatever that individual?
Correct.
But you see, the thing about anxiety, yeah? One of the...
Caller, if you can load on the TV or something in the background?
No. That one has mic passing.
Okay. All right, so call us back in a few as soon as it passes, because we can't hear you too clearly on that. So let's go a little bit deeper into something subtle but incredibly powerful. A phenomenon we are seeing more and more in modern music. Sad lyrics on happy beats. Have you all been realizing that? That has been a trend for years. I remember I was listening to 80s music recently, right? And I was like, but sad music used to be on sad beats in the 80s. Yeah, and happy music on happy beats in the 80s. But what I've noticed is that the trend has completely changed. So the brain is receiving two conflicting emotional signals at the same time with some of the modern music that we have coming out. So imagine this, the beat is upbeat. As now a composer, so don't hold me to that there, but I try my best with that beat, yeah? But fast tempo, bright melody, your body starts moving, dopamine is released, you feel good, but then the lyrics say, I feel empty, I don't trust anyone, I'm lost, I'm numb. Now your brain is doing two things at once. One system is activating pleasure, another is processing distress. Research in affective neuroscience shows that when emotional signals are mismatched, the brain must work harder to process them, increasing cognitive and emotional load. Over time, this can normalize emotional contradiction, feeling good while being internally distressed. So on the outside, person presenting as completely normal, but on the inside, they are dying. They are going through a lot. They are under extreme distress on the inside. That is a walking contradiction, and that's the reality of so many people that we see now. Taking a caller. Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Good evening. Pinal here, Dorbasa.
Pinal.
Yes.
Welcome.
So you have a choice to listen to whatever music you want. I have no music stored here.
Mm-hmm.
I pull it up on my phone or on my smart TV. I have no big speakers or anything. I have a radio in my car, and I listen to that, mostly talk radio, and I'm good. So if you choose to listen to music that tears you apart from day to day and makes you dysfunctional and, let's use a simple word, crazy, I don't think anybody could intervene and fix that, because after they talk holy, you could go back and listen to it again. So I don't understand why we are bothering. I mean, you could tell people, boy, that music ain't good for you, and somebody like you might want to go deeper. But by and large, if you're listening to upsetting music or upsetting politicians or any number of upsetting environments that you could put yourself in, and you have choices, and in music you have choices, you know? I grew up on a lot of old Indian music, movies and also religious music and folk music. Folk music gave rise to chutney music. They kept the melody, but they used some words that they could understand, and they beat it out on rudimentary instruments. So I'm saying that that's my background in music, and then there was the Radio American Top 40, mm-hmm. and you could get Calypso and whatnot, because that was controlled. So I'm saying, and then there's this modern music, and I have all of that to choose from. So I really don't see a problem. People can choose what makes them, you know, frazzled, or what makes them mellow. It's up to them.
So, Pinal, I have to go to a break now, but yeah. When I come back in, I'm going to come and I'll give you a reply to that as well and give my perspective and share it, right? So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking anxiety and pop culture. That is what we're talking about, but we go to a break right about now and we'll be back in just a few.
Get the story first. Want to know what's happening in news, sports, or crime? Get the CNC3 app. As the story breaks, CNC3 is there giving you the story first on your mobile device. Be connected to the most trusted and reliable news source, CNC3. Access your world with just a tap. The CNC3 app. Download it today. Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 15 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs. Front and center with state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 15 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that Big Board impact. Call 723-9595. For more information,
power up your Saturdays with Gary V's electrifying energy on Speak Your Mind Saturdays. Here, you're not just tuning in, you're transforming the show into a vibrant tapestry of opinions, laughter, and spirited debates. Get set for a day packed with the fun, the burning issues, and Gary V's infectious personality. Join the fun, fuel the conversation, speak your mind. Saturdays with Gary V on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Are you tired of missing out on the latest news and updates on what's going on around you? Well, get ready to stay informed like never before with CNC3 7 p.m. News Live. Tune in every day at 7 p.m. and stay ahead of the game with the most accurate and reliable news coverage. The 7 p.m. News Live on CNC3, covering your world.
Welcome back to the Insight Hub right here on Freedom 106.5. My name is Darian Theatrix Narayan. Happy to be back with you guys after 2 weeks because the last two Mondays we know were holidays. But happy to be back in studio, and today we're talking anxiety and pop culture. The influence of pop culture on anxiety in young people in Trinidad and Tobago. So just before the break, we had a conversation around the choice that you may have. But very often, especially at a very young age, you're very impressionable. So young people are very impressionable generally right now. Is just natural within the biology of evolution. So therefore, certain things, certain realities that pop up. Even though you might think that you have the ability to make a freedom of choice, we know that there's something called hacking that's taking place with regards to attention spans. It's something that big marketing companies, especially on social media, is doing right now. They're hacking the brain and trying to appeal to the reptilian brain. Yeah. Which is your passive brain, essentially, on trying to reach you on the subconscious level, where you're not putting much thought into what you're consuming. So that is something that we've seen a lot of lawsuits coming out of now for social media, actually, because they've been investing a lot of money into research to try and get you to stay on the platform as long as possible. The same is being done across the board for all different art forms. So even though we might say, yes, you have this level of choice, etc., the identity of a young person isn't fully formed until they're in their 20s, which means that they make decisions that are not always the best until they're around their mid-20s, yeah? So the prefrontal cortex is not fully formed, so therefore the decision-making capabilities is not fully formed as well. So with that reality, the situation is that young people are more susceptible to any sort of person who could come in with conviction and convince them that this is the righteous path. So, in a situation or circumstance where you're seeing like these massive global singers and performers, etc., who are performing And they are getting a lot of praise for it. We understand the whole idea as well of the like culture. So as you see people collecting the likes, it activates the reward system within the brain. So when they're seeing this, they're thinking that this is good. So therefore, I need to mimic this sort of behavior. I need to mimic what these people are doing as well. And sometimes that happens in such a passive way that they're not really analyzing what's the total impact on them. So the consciousness is really what we need to be raising with regards to those folks and those people. But I wanted to come back a little bit to the conversation I was having just before the break and just before the last caller with regards to the emotional contradiction that takes place with music and putting sad lyrics on happy beats. So I looked at some very popular music right now. If you look at Drake is probably one of the biggest rappers in the world. But his lyric often and his catalog often pairs smooth, vibey production with themes of mistrust, heartbreak, and emotional instability. And they are promoting that as, yeah, this is the lifestyle to live. And then even when we look at the artists like The Weeknd, and these are international artists with Blinding Lights, sonically euphoric but rooted in loneliness and emotional longing, his music is real catchy, very, very catchy, yeah? And you might think that you have choice all the time. Okay, I'm not going to listen to this. But when you go out and you're liming, you can't tell the bar what to play. Yeah, you can't tell the club what to play. If you go into a space, let's say you go to a work event, you can't tell the DJ what to play. You can't go and say, hey, change that one time. Play this instead. Because at the end of the day, in those group settings, there is a certain type of music that is played, and they're more than likely going to play the popular music at that point in time. And therefore, even if you say, all right, I'm making choices in all these other areas, subconsciously, you're still consuming it in other areas and other spaces when you're shopping. Yeah? Hello, good evening. Welcome.
Hi, good day. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
Hold on. Hold on to me, please. You can't tell a DJ what to play and what not to play.
Exactly.
You can make a stop a DJ. When it after 11 in the night, you can stop them. Stop playing music because it's played too loud. And people district, right? That's
right.
Number one, right?
Yeah.
But you can't tell a DJ how to play music because tell him if somebody's sick, right? And they're living on the road or a party anyway. You ask them to slow the volume because you have sick people around the village.
Right.
Are right or wrong?
No, you're right.
That's
right.
The only way you could tell them slow it down. Or play music but load it down in a slow motion. After 11, cut off or load it down, ride on as soon as possible so the people get to go. But you can play where you want. But people like to play what them want and listen what them want. You want to listen to where they give you. You take where you get. If you don't like it, go home and pack up and stay home in your house. Right? Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, you hear that. So even he's saying you can't tell the DJs what to play. And that's what I'm saying. So even in parties and events, etc., you might be at a space that you attend and the music is played. Even when you go to restaurants, you can't tell the restaurants what music to play. And they more than likely will be playing the popular music. But the music itself is the issue that we're seeing, and we need to analyze that and go a little bit deeper into that. Even when we come home to the Caribbean, yeah, you know Hello. You all know Hello, that song from Kes. Hello, hello, hello. It feels warm, uplifting, easy, but lyrically it reflects longing, distance, emotional searching. Or Marshall Montano, The Truth. Well, that one is a hard truth to stomach. High energy, carnival ready, but beneath that there's vulnerability, emotional exposure, and a search for authenticity. And when you layer it with like dancehall influencers, artists like Popcorn and Vybz Kartel, who are big, big artists across the globe and internationally as well, coming out of the Caribbean region, we hear themes of survival, mistrust, independence, emotional pain, carried on rhythms that make you move, celebrate, and escape. So we must ask the question, are we processing emotion or are we dancing over it? Because there's a difference. Release heals, avoidance stores. And when emotion is stored, it doesn't disappear, it returns. And that is where we're seeing the anxiety rising amongst the young people. And I think, now this is my personal opinion, the pop culture, the culture, the things that we are consuming in media is what is resulting directly in the spikes in anxiety. Yeah, I believe there's a correlation. There's going to be a study that I'm going to have to carry out. But I believe that there's a strong correlation between that and the anxiety that we're seeing amongst young people right now in Trinidad and Tobago and across the globe. You see, these things are coming up as anxiety, as restlessness, as overthinking. And when we move towards even watching like movies and the visual culture aspect, cinema has evolved. We are no longer just telling stories. We are creating high stimulation sensory environments. So you're highly stimulated every time you go to the movie with all these graphics, with all these things. From time they start bringing 3D glasses, whenever that was. I think that was probably 2 decades ago. I don't know. It might be longer. Yeah? from time to start bringing in those things and what they've done and all these Dolby Atmos and all the enhancements in the song and everything. So sensory, you're activated at a very high level once you go into the movies, yeah? And then you have these things where they start to push for fast cuts, constant tensions and unpredictabilities in a movie. So they don't have no slow building movies again, you know? They get to these things real quick. It's just like, da-da-da-da-da. If you watch a movie about that was made about, I think, 15 years ago, some of those movies are like 2.5 hours, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, etc. Movies now, the longest movie again is probably 1.5. Yeah? Sometimes it's shorter than that. Most times it's shorter than that. Research by Anderson and Bushman and later media psychology studies show that prolonged exposure to high-intensity media increases baseline physiological arousal, keeping the nervous system in a semi-activated state, which means even when nothing is happening, your brain feels like if something is about to happen. That is anxiety. Constantly happening within the media, the music we listen to, happening with the visuals that we're seeing, the movies we're watching. And I have to ask, because when I watch as well some of these shows that we're seeing now on, for example, Netflix, if you go through Netflix and you watch some of these shows, all these shows showing some level of breakdown. Yeah, all the modern shows is high breakdown, high issues, high problems. Everything is problematic. It's have no feel-good shows again, you know. Nah. Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Yeah, I'm the guy that called just when he might call in the background.
Ah, yes. Welcome back,
brother. All right, good evening. You know, anxiety sometimes. I observe, well, I'm in my mid-50s, and I observe that I'd be anxious, like, if I had to get something done. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, I want to get it done. I don't know, like, well, now I kind of control it more. But like, when I was younger, it was more, you know, it was more, like, uncontrollable. It should be like, you know, right, you know?
Mm-hmm,
sometimes it's so anxious, sometimes it make a mistake on. So that thing I had a control, but I realized what else actually I can contribute to it. It's like when you're young,
yeah,
depending on the environment they grow up in, and see if you have people criticizing it and so on, it is kind of like, does have a role to play.
Correct.
How you handle things, how you face things. It's if you have people like, you know, encouraging us. I observe it like, when I have my children now, I try to have them in a culture of, do your best. Once you do your best, we're working with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever your best is, even your best, even your best take care, not what society accepts. Okay, see, think about it. Eh? We live in an environment where society expects certain things of children of us at certain stages. I know sometimes we allow this to tape our lives or control our lives, not recognizing that, you know, I might have a talent in some other area, so good. But just this particular area with this lineup we have basically in Trinidad, you know, where we have bam, 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 come around, and so we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we destroy so many creative minds or come along so much creativity by this system we have here that is not, that doesn't incorporate have each other, have a more natural environment where you can really discover. Give it check out that talent and skill is really discovered by older people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the abilities. You doesn't know your talent, you know. It's because by older people, I discovered something after my 30s that I was a person that think fast.
Mm-hmm. And
think, but nobody really observe and I realize it happening. I find myself in so many situations where people who are even trained in certain areas, sometimes when builders come and do work on me, why I did the thing or something real quick. And it, but who is only I discovered talent myself, and sometimes you do discover that talent now. You done we you could have marked that talent and prove it up.
So yeah.
The Japanese have a system where they do put exams to into the children's system. They kinda let them work in a natural environment, and after they guide them according to this, where they see natural, with the ability, is naturally, the kind of natural ability is so much easier to develop than ability where the child, you don't have an aptitude that area and how to force it.
Caller, you give me a lot of stomach there and digest. So let me just digest it a little bit. We have another caller on the line and then I'll answer directly to what you were sharing there. Hello, good evening and welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, if you could explain for the listeners, for us, the difference between what we will call, well, slow, soft music, and loud, hard, fast music. I mean, even without the lyrics, just that those rhythms, if you want to call it that, and that kind of high energy as against the soft, slow music.
Yes.
What is the impact it really has on the mind and the brain? Thank you.
Of course, I'll bring that in as well. So we'll have a conversation around that. I want to bring on the next caller. Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Yes.
How can we get people to take control of their emotions or their age? How can you do that? To take care, look, why am I behaving like this? Why am I being overwhelmed?
Mm-hmm.
But teach people, even at a young age, how to deal with emotions and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Some very great questions there. I want to start with the first caller who was talking about the circumstance and the situation where you grew up. That is a big aspect. In fact, there's a test that you can take called ACE. Right, adversive childhood experiences. Your childhood experiences and whatever childhood experiences you've gone through can actually contribute to your understanding of what you're experiencing now. So, for example, if you suffered with anxiety and you recognize, oh, you're getting anxious constantly over these situations, doing that is a first step. Of course, there are other steps after that to see a mental health professional, to get diagnosed if you want it, which you should go that route to understand the extent to which your anxiety is happening and occurring, and then trying to find the solutions towards resolving that. So I wanna bring credibility to that. Of course, I'm not saying that the music and pop culture is the only thing that contributes to anxiety. I'm saying that I'm seeing a direct correlation with it right now with young people as well, in addition to those adverse childhood experiences. To the second caller who was talking about the beat, the rhythm of the music, that is a very important point as well. So we know naturally that the higher the BPM in music, the more our blood naturally starts to flow and pump, and our minds become active. Our system, our nervous system, activates in a certain way depending on the BPM of the music as well. That's beats per minute, the BPM of the music. That's why, like, for example, soca music does naturally make you feel bubbly. I just put on soca music in the gym because I know soca music is going to give me some energy and some power, especially if I had a bus song, some cardio inside there. I know soca music gonna carry me through it, yeah. But I cannot meditate to soca music. Yeah, that's the reality. The BPM is too high. So if we slow down the BPM and reduce the beats per minute and use something a little bit more calming, etc. And in fact, for meditation, for something to calm the soul, to calm everybody down, moving towards more natural songs help. So anything that sort of mimics the natural environment, so birds tweeting, if you listen to like water flowing, these kind of things, and slow beats, slow music, soothing music, normally with just one or two instruments present, it makes a big difference in terms of setting the scenario and the circumstance for yourself to be able to be a lot smoother, a lot more at ease inside there. So to that caller, I just wanted to answer that the rhythm of the music, the beats per minute of the music is also very important. Very, very important. And as I was mentioning earlier, in the research, it shows that the higher the beats per minute, you actually spike your dopamine as well. So what I was concerned about and what I continue to be concerned about is the lyrics that is on top of that. So if you have lyrics that is like negative on top of your dopamine being spiked, which is your feel-good chemical in your brain, you're going to end up in a real serious contradictory situation. And therefore, your own mind now is like battling between, oh, I'm feeling good, but am I feeling good because of these particular lyrics in this song? To the third caller who spoke and asking about how do you now control your emotions? How do you get to a state to understand that? I think one of the major issues I'm seeing, and this is me talking with a lot of psychologists out there, with a lot of psychiatrists, with social workers, with counselors in the school system overall, one of the things that we're seeing that's actually impacting a lot of people in a very adverse way is the lack of community. Community is a big, big part of really feeling good and being supported and coming out of a difficult place. So you could go to talk therapy. I support therapy 110%. But it cannot be just, you see, the solution to whatever you're feeling, to controlling emotions, to understanding self, to really being able to build back, to revive or recover from anything, is not just an isolated option. So you can't only just say the talk therapy alone. It is rather more convoluted than that and requires you to understand several different parts of your life. All the different parts of your life have to be moving in that direction as well. So, but community is a big, big one. You see, being able to just take a lime, hang out with some friends. People have this concept that a lime is, oh, go, you have to go out and you have to drink. That is not a lime, my friends, right? That is not the only version of a lime, I should say. Yeah? There are many versions of that. Just sitting down in the living room with some good friends. And if you don't drink alcohol, you drink some juice, you drink some tea. And having that conversation inside it is build a vibe, yeah? But it's also a support system to help you regulate your own self. Just having conversation, having community, having somebody to interact with, having somebody, even hugs. People just underestimate the power of hugs. All these things help to regulate. You cannot move to a place of being able to control and understand your emotions fully unless you first and foremost Yeah, first and foremost, understand your own self and your history. So you have to have an understanding of where you came from your past, from what has affected you in the past, what you've been through, what you've gone through, and then now move in into the future, you understand, oh, this is something that's getting me mad. And as you get older, you kind of realize that, right? This get me mad. So you start naturally, we start regularly by avoiding that particular situation, yeah? We're going to go to a quick break, and I'll be back with a little bit deeper dive into this conversation around anxiety, pop culture, and how that impacts anxiety in youth.
Get the story first. Want to know what's happening in news, sports, or crime? Get the CNC3 app. As the story breaks, CNC3 is there giving you the story first on your mobile device. Be connected to the most trusted and reliable news source, CNC3. Access your world with just a tap. The CNC3 app. Download it today.
Tune in to Betterments with Host Space. Monday through Thursday, 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a program that educates and is solution-based. Space tackles the issues that matter to you, providing a platform to speak your mind and find solutions. That's Betterments with Space, with a focus on education and resolution. This is all about making things better for you. You can reach us via phone and WhatsApp to share your thoughts and find solutions to the issues that matter to you. So if you want to make a difference and have your voice heard, tune into Freedom 106.5 FM and join us for Betterments with Bass Monday through Thursday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Better for you. Only on Freedom 106.5 FM, where we believe that your voice matters.
Every weekday morning, Tusca Martinez brings you the stories that matter to you. On The Human Impact, tackling the issues of the day, exploring health and wellness that hits home, diving into powerful features, bold opinions, and a book club that keeps you thinking. It's thoughtful, it's fearless, and it's yours. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Speak your mind, Trinidad and Tobago, and let's make it count. The Human Impact, only on Freedom 106.5 FM.
Are you tired of missing out on the latest news and updates on what's going on around you? Well, get ready to stay informed like never before with CNC3 7 p.m. News Live. Tune in every day at 7 p.m. and stay ahead of the game with the most accurate and reliable news coverage. The 7 p.m. News Live on CNC3, covering your world.
Final again. You know, I feel these pieces of music that do these various things to you kind of get self-selected over time. You gravitate to what you want. You buy the music that you want. The software on your phone and your computer and your smart TV kind of keeps you going in what you have selected before. So I don't really understand why there's a battle going on that you have to be fighting all the time. If you've been watching music from a particular era, you get more of that. A particular type of music, you get more of that. Well, let me just say, since we're talking about music and quality and thing, and carries a genre, art form. No discussion is complete without those words. You forget to throw in those words, partner. I'm just saying that the thing self-selects. So I don't understand why there's a big major calamity going on. If people select the music that traumatizes them, well, what can you do? Because they will go and do it again. Thanks.
Pinal, I feel you and I will have to sit down and have a cup of coffee or something and have that discussion, because that's a long-winded discussion for me to be able to explain that fully. I don't think we have the time right now to be able to deal with that here. Yeah? Hello, good evening and welcome.
Yeah, boss, good afternoon, sir.
Yes.
I want to ask you two questions, please. Don't cut me off, eh? I know you don't cut me off, yeah? Anxiety, right? Uh-huh. When I'm laughing and having fun and making jokes, uh-huh, that anxiety or I having fun? Let me ask you two things.
That's
I like to have fun, I like to laugh. Could I laugh, yes or no?
All right, so let me answer your first question. We ain't even wait for me to answer your first question. So laughter is a good way to help with anxiety. It helps regulate the nervous system and helps regulate the system overall. So the more you laugh, the better it is for your health, for your well-being. I encourage people to laugh as much as possible. Yeah, except when you're dealing with serious in situations. You know, some people, they're dealing with a serious conflict. Somebody do them something real bad and they start to laugh inside there. That is a clear sign of anxiety in the situation. So sometimes that's a way for you to release. In that particular situation, somebody come to you, somebody like arguing or whatever, and they're mad. And you start saying, "Oh, well, that's not the case." That nervous laugh. So the real laugh, where you're laughing out loud and it's fun and you're feeling light and everything, that helps with anxiety. The nervous laugh, and you know that nervous laugh that you have, yeah, that one is one that actually is a clear sign of anxiety in the situation. Yeah. Hello, good evening, and welcome.
Yeah, I want to bring this to your attention. Mm-hmm. We can use music, and I'm going to use two extremities. We can use music to preserve life, and we can use music to destroy life. Those two things. We can use music to preserve life, and we can use music to destroy life. Mm-hmm. Would you like to comment on that?
We can use music to preserve life and we can use music to destroy life. So it all comes down to the messaging within the music, if it's lyrical music inside there as well. And how you use it, you can use any tool to destroy life. You can use any tool to save lives as well. Social media is one, cinematic universe is one. So when we look at TV, etc., all of that, it just depends on how you utilize the tool. Yeah, so it's not only limited. It's not only limited to just music in that case. I think is so much other things within the realm of culture and art. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the big one. Yeah, so far I talk about music. I talk about TV and Netflix and all of these things. But before we end off this program here this evening, the one I want to bring to your attention is social media. We are no longer just consuming content on social media. You know that? We are immersed in it. Social media is now a conversational community platform. So where conversations used to take place in Woodford Square, for a lot of the older folks out there, y'all know what I'm talking about, those conversations are now taking place online, on Facebook. It's a big place. You ever, when I scrolling through Facebook, I see big conversation and big dialogue taking place in comment section. Yeah? From a psychological standpoint, this aligns with Bandura's social learning theory. We learn behaviors, emotions, and norms through observation. So when young people are constantly exposed, especially in the comment section, are going after the people who's being in the comment, the keyboard warriors, as called them, to hyperreactivity inside there, emotional instability, not well thought out ideas and concepts inside there. So you're just kind of, you know, you're putting out whatever, and it's aggressive behavior, and it's cussing and thing in the comment section sometimes. Toxic relational dynamics, performative lifestyles. They begin to internalize these as normal, but we also, so it's not only just limited to young people here, but even older folks who spend a lot of time on the platform will start to internalize this as a new norm, not realizing, as one of the persons, I think it was Pinal self was saying this, the algorithm itself could curate what you see. So if you accessing a certain level of content, you're going to see more of that every single time. But what people don't realize is that with regards to the algorithm, all it takes is just one video, you know. So you could be looking at positive things all the time. You decide to change one day, one video pop up. That's something negative or something that just get real angry and real vexed. You react to that. You spend the most amount of time watching that one video. And then your whole timeline, your whole algorithm changes because of that. That's how the algorithm works. That's why I was talking about the hacking that takes place. It's a mental hacking that these different social media platforms are doing in order to access you. Your what you call your reptilian brain. Your brain that operates at a very subconscious level. That's where they're trying to reach you. Yeah, or they're trying to reach you at your amygdala, which is the emotional side of your brain. So they're trying to get you emotional, so you have a reaction immediately. Yeah? So when we layer that with, and we look at all these different things that we're seeing on the Facebook, when we see all these people cussing out each other, everything, and we start to say, oh, this is a norm. This is an ordinary thing. This is normalized. So therefore, I also have to engage in this kind of behavior because, well, not that you have to, but you're thinking that it's okay, rather, to engage in this kind of behavior because you're seeing it all the time. It's social learning theory, right? And that's exactly what's happening. And then we layer that with cognitive load theory. The brain was never designed for this level of constant stimulation. So the brain was never designed to always have your notifications popping up. to have music at your fingertip that you could just change one time. So if you don't like a song, you could change it immediately. But back in the day when you had vinyls, yeah, and you had to put on a vinyl, you had to listen to the whole thing, yeah. So it wasn't made for that. It wasn't made for so much short content videos. So much videos just coming at you. 30 seconds now, sometimes even 5 seconds, 10 seconds. You're just getting content in like quick bite-sized pieces. And then constant doom scrolling, which we know of. And they've been trying to move towards getting doom scrolling off as well. They've been saying, hey, doom scrolling is something that is very dangerous as well.
Let me just ask a question about, you wake me up there. Is it because these 5-minute bites or these 1 minute, 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 3 seconds, 5 seconds bites of content that we are seeing, is it because of our attention span?
Yes.
Because we losing our attention span, you know, because everything is so quick, fast-paced. This is what we expect from everything, you know. Everything gotta be one time. So is that part of the conditioning part we were speaking about earlier?
It is. So I want you to think about addicts, right? People who have an addiction to, let's say, alcohol or drugs, everything, or coke or whatever, yeah? Whatever drug they're taking, yeah? If the person starts off by drinking a certain amount, yeah, then over time, if they're constantly drinking that same amount, let's say they're drinking 500 ml of alcohol per day, then over time, if 30 days pass, 500 ml of alcohol not going to do the same thing, so you have to up to 750 ml, right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same concept with this. If we were once stimulated by three-hour-long movies, but after a while, you're watching all of that, you reduce the stimulation because now you're getting shorter content, you're getting everything faster, the messaging faster. So go down to 1:20, then go down until we reach where we are now. Yeah? Hello, good evening, and welcome.
I cannot believe I missed this program. I get distracted after a little while and I have to learn tuning and I hear things that I just be talking about. That it is unbelievable. Carrie, when you see me with my heart carpet on my ball here.
You're getting two.
Have a bobby here. So you're dealing with it brutal. Oh, but listen, So what do you think is the reason that they're doing this? Well, I could just straighten. Let me see how fast I could be. So the Germans try to augment and alter the human DNA to get the perfect slave, the perfect person. Well, they still existed as the Nazis and them. So however, what they realize is that to alter, it's very difficult to alter the human DNA. Now, that has angered them, if you understand. So what they realize is that consciousness does control DNA because it's not taking physical alteration, because after a generation or two, it has flicked back to the normal thing. So the combination they realize that they're using and in play right now is the combination of mental alteration and DNA experiments. Mind you, DNA experiments are still taking place.
Correct. It's called biohacking.
It's alive and it's taking place. And they realize now that if they lower the frequency of the human being and get them to think very negatively, they will get with the combination of physical or DNA alteration and the negativity and the dropping of the frequency of the human consciousness, they will get perfect splices and stuff like that. Now, the human being is a very high-frequency being because of our potential for empathy, sympathy, compassion, love, and stuff like that. It makes us a very high-frequency being as compared to the other beings that we don't know about that run in the earth. And so if they kind of desensitize us to loving one another and the love and the empathy and the sympathy and stuff like that, maybe we'll be resonating at a lower frequency and thus they'll be able to achieve. There are trillions of souls lined up to have the human experiment. However, the frequency do not match. So it's a whole big gestalt that we are a part of. And that's why sometimes I give them a little buff from Tuscan and say, she's saying we're not ready, but we'll have that discussion in a time. But this is what it is all about. And that's what the wars is all about. And it's a war against consciousness and the evolution of the consciousness of the human so that they could achieve this. And check out Soros. You'll get frightened. You'll get a heart attack. Them as brothers are the head of this thing. Soros and all them Gates and all of them, they are the head of it. But check out so much of it. some of his speeches as it relates to AI and artificial intelligence and technology and stuff like that. And you might get a heart attack. Thanks, sir. Sorry, I missed the program. When you'll be on again with this topic. When you'll be on again.
And on next week with our next topic, I might bring back this a little bit later, but we'll always have these topics coming up as
cool,
well. So you can look out
for it. Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, man. Okay, no scene. Happy to have you on board, nevertheless. Always an interesting contribution and an engaging contribution to make you think a little bit. So always appreciate you having you on the program as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just 5 minutes away from the top of the hour. I have another caller coming in. This is the last caller I'll take for this segment. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, I want to draw your attention to cricket spectators.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, with the young people taking 120 overs, okay? They are accustomed to a fast game. I know, one of the oldies, I could take a test match. Not when all nations are playing, then sitting there, so I'll take on a test match. And I'll take on a ODI for 50 overs, a test match lasting 5 days or less, a ODI day, and a 20-over taking place within 4 hours. Now, in most of these 20 overs, you see lots of young people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in test matches, you see a paucity of young people.
Mm-hmm.
What is the cause for that?
Same exact conversation we were having around stimulation. And that's the easiest way to summarize that. So the same thing with movie content going shorter. It's the same thing now with sports and everything as well. People just want shorter, bite-sized pieces. That's the reality of what's happening here. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a fantastic and phenomenal topic. I have way more to say on this. I mean, I could have gone for at least 3 hours here having a conversation around the realities of pop culture and anxiety. I actually have my master's is in cultural studies, and my thesis was on social media and identity formation of youth in Trinidad and Tobago. So if I was to go into that and break down that and what I found during my 2 years of research, and I research influencers and things, you know, Carrie V. I know you're still here with me. I went all in, and it was very interesting, the results of that. So that's a conversation for another day for sure. But I want to say a big thank you to everybody out there for listening in, for having this conversation with me, for engaging with me as well. I always enjoy when people have the conversation. We keep it going, are able to answer, and I hope that I brought some wisdom, some insights to the callers and to the audience listening out there as well. I want to big up my team, Aaron and Al, who tuned in today. Of course, they are a big part of my community, and after this, we hit in the gym because I need to relax and de-stress as well. So big them up, they're there already, and I know I'll be there in a few as well. So everybody, I just want to say and wish you all a very safe week ahead. I want to wish you all some time as well for you to take just a moment, a pause, some deep breaths. Something important to remember is that deep breathing is so important, is essential, because you cannot be stressed and relaxed at the same time. And breathing relaxes the body. You cannot be stressed and relaxed at the same time. So take some deep breaths. Yeah, spend some time focusing on your breathing and being conscious around your breathing as well. You all have an excellent week ahead. Wishing everybody good vibes, good energy as you move forward. And just stay in some level of positivity this week. Try to spread some positive thoughts, some positive vibes. Yeah? You all have a good one. Remember that we'll be here every single Monday, so you can check me out at 6 p.m. every single Monday right here on the Inside Hub on Freedom 106.5. My name is Darian Theatrix Narayan, and I'm with
you. You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.